up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, Monday morning. It is March 11, 2019. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This is a super friends, super special edition of this podcast because Antonio Brown has been traded for the fifth time in several days. First off, though, I would note, we are on Spotify now. If you like your podcast there, go subscribe. And if you like your podcast elsewhere, go subscribe there too. Make sure to rate and review. If you like the podcast, those ratings and those reviews help us. Joining me today to break down all things AB, John Breach and Ryan Wilson. What's up, guys?
Wonder Twin powers activate. You guys know what that is? Remember that?
The Hardy Boys.
Kid, I stop it. Do you recognize that?
Yeah, what are the Wonder Twins again?
They're on Super Friends, dum-dum. You just said Super Friends coming into this thing.
Oh, well, whatever.
They were later on in the Super
Friends. I'm really more of a Captain Planet guy, so bleep you, buddy. Earth, wind, fire, water. Right, anyway, moving on. Antonio Brown apparently traded, according to reports. It's not official. The Steelers, I guess Drew Rosenhaus has discussed it. Like, this is the weird thing.
Antonio put a picture of himself on Twitter of him in a Raiders uniform, so I think it is fair to say we have to cite reports.
Okay.
Right?
It's not official till
Wednesday.
The 13th,
yeah. It can't be official till Wednesday, the 13th, this Wednesday at 4 p.m. when the new league year begins. Hard to believe that free agency actually starts in 48 hours. Of course, if you're listening to this podcast right now on a Monday, you're thinking to yourself, man, free agency feels like it's already starting. There's going to be a lot of action on Monday and Tuesday. We will be banging out podcasts, I think. I haven't asked John and Ryan, but they're going to be doing a lot of podcasts. They don't know it yet. Throughout the week, as we wrap up each day of free agency, Breach just gave me my wife's going to murder me look. To Antonio Brown, though. We did it
with a new haircut, so it's okay.
That's right. You do look good with that new haircut, Breach. Our long national nightmare is over. Antonio Brown traded to the Raiders for what has been reported to be a third round pick in 2000 and a fifth round pick in 2019. That's correct. I was going to add that. How does this make you feel as a Steelers fan, Ryan? I mean, because it's hard not to be disappointed by it in my mind. I mean, this is a disaster for the Steelers, point blank.
JLC said probably 2 or 3 weeks ago that the Steelers wanted first-round value, quote-unquote, and that was down from the first-round pick they wanted in the weeks prior to that. And the more AB talked and the more that he sort of swung in the wind, the clearer it became to me that they weren't going to get very much for him. So I've been saying for a couple weeks now, if they got a third-round pick, they should grab it and run. And I'll just leave you with what I wrote Sunday when I did sort of a breaking down who won the trade. I wrote that for CBSSports.com. And I'll let you guys guess what grades I have. Let's start with the Oakland Raiders. Mm. What would you give the Oakland Raiders? Before you guess, so obviously they get Antonio Brown. They gave up the third and the fifth round pick. And they gave Antonio Brown a bunch of new money, $30 million guaranteed. He had no guarantees left in that deal. And he's now the highest paid receiver at $19.8 million a year. So what grade would you give the Oakland Raiders?
I will give the Oakland Raiders a B+, and I think you probably gave them a C+. What would you give them, John?
I hate to say this, but I agree with Brinson. I go B+ also. I can't give them an A because you're giving a 31-year-old dude $30 million guaranteed. If there's one thing you can't do in the NFL, it is give a guy his age and guaranteed money, especially if he's over 30.
I gave an A, so I wasn't far off you guys.
All right.
But someone pointed out on Twitter, and I don't have it in front of me, so I apologize for not knowing who it is, but they said the Raiders didn't want to give Khalil Mack in his prime $23.9 million a year, but they will give 31-year-old Antonio Brown $19.8 million a year.
I saw several people point that out. It is curious. I think if you're the Raiders, kudos to you for not giving – you have four picks in the top 35, and we'll talk more about the Raiders. This is going to be a lot of Antonio Brown chatter because really that's the big news. But – kudos to the Raiders for not giving up one of those top four picks, or those four picks in the top 35. I think it's a big win for them. This is the second time they traded for a troubled receiver for various different reasons from the Steelers. Remember, they gave up the number 79 overall pick to the Steelers to get Martavis Bryant. They got Antonio Brown for the same price as Martavis Bryant. What the hell? I mean, that's crazy to me. I don't know that, like, I mean, I give Mike Mayock a lot of credit here, I think. And we don't know.
Drew Rosenhaus was on NFL Network on Sunday, and he gave Mike Mayock a lot of credit, which gives me pause. It makes me think Mike Mayock may have been part of the problem. I don't know. I wasn't in the room. But before we go on, let's go finish with the grades real quick. Steelers, what do you give the Steelers?
F, an F, an absolute F, an F minus.
I'll give him a D. I'm not going to go with the F minus only because you had to get rid of him. Like, this was not going to work. The chemistry was not that. The whole locker room would have been blown up if you keep Antonio Brown. And at least you got something. Even if it is a third and a fifth round pick, I'm going to go D minus. I won't go full F.
I gave him a D for just the obvious.
That's because you're your teammate. You should give him an F.
I don't like to fail people. All right, and finally, Antonio Brown. What'd you give Antonio Brown, Johnny?
An A plus. I mean, that guy just fleeced the system, fleeced the Steelers for everything that they are worth. Like, the Steelers are literally eating $21 million in dead cap this year so that Antonio Brown can play for the Raiders and make $30 million guaranteed. If that's not the best thing that's ever happened to an NFL player ever financially, I mean, that's just – he threw the Steelers under the bus and then – reversed and then did it again. I mean, that was
Jerome
just
Bettis A-plus, driving the A-plus. Bus.
Yeah, Jerome Bettis is driving it in Detroit, probably. I'll give him two pluses, A++, because he quit on his team, bailed out, created all this drama, sat down with the Rooneys in the off season. They took, like, weeks ago, they told him, "Hey, look, dude, will you just chill? You're making it difficult to trade you, and you're submarining your trade value." He ramped it up after that. Completely blitzkrieged his trade value, refused to go to Buffalo, refused to come back to Pittsburgh, didn't want to work with the Steelers, got to go to Oakland and didn't even hurt the Raiders in the process of getting there, and then got a new contract. It's remarkable how the Steelers have lost both Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, and they're going to come out with like two third round picks, basically. I mean, if they get a comp pick for Le'Veon Bell. This is a nightmare for the Steelers.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it looks terrible, and you hate to lose two of your best players, but they should have gone to the playoffs last year without Le'Veon Bell. James Conner wasn't a problem. Quickly, though, a few more ways that the Steelers were screwed by Antonio Brown as he moonwalked out of town. He got his $12 million year raise. The $21 million cap hit they have to take on, you pointed out. Also, JLC reported that if he had agreed to go to the Bills, the Bills were going to flip the 9th and the 12th, 20th pick. So the Steelers would have the 9th overall pick, give up Antonio Brown. They could have drafted Devin White if they wanted to at LSU. DK Metcalf, anybody with that 9th pick. And now they're stuck with the 3rd and the 5th, which I don't care who you are, who's doing the math. That ain't first-round value.
You got to give Drew Rosenhaus credit, too, because he managed to get in the Bills' ear and let them know, like, look, Antonio's not going to show up if you try and send him to Buffalo. And what a turn of events.
Drew Rosenhaus said he didn't know anything about that. That's what he told Andrew Siciliano.
I bet he did say that. I mean, what a turn of events, because, and we should back up just a minute and point out, because I didn't mention this on Friday's podcast, but on Thursday night, there was a report from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network or NFL Media that Antonio Brown had been traded to the Bills. And this is like the craziest situation. It's a very 2019 situation. This report comes out. No one else reported it. And, you know, like, everybody's on Twitter. Like, I mean, they were openly saying this. I was sort of DM with some people. It's like, so you're telling me that, like, Rap Sheet's the only guy who's got this. And everybody from Buffalo, everybody from Pittsburgh, Adam Schefter, Jason LaCanfora, Jay Glazer, everyone else is asleep. Like, they're just all, or like, or they're all drunk. They're out drunk or asleep. Like, Schefter's slinging back a bottle of red. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and no one else is reporting this. And it felt a little fishy, and indeed it was. And Breach, it ended up being a thing where the trade didn't happen. AB's on Instagram writing fake news. It was a trade, then it wasn't a trade. It was a crazy situation.
That was a total circus. And that's the thing is, like, I think we probably only got 4 hours of sleep over the past 4 days, because now it was, who's on Antonio Brown trade watch tonight? Because who knew what was going to blow up? Friday night, you got to stay up till 3 a.m. Saturday night, you got to stay up till 3 a.m. And the thing with the Bills was that I think my favorite part of that was all the jokes we got. And I know you mentioned it, Brenton, was like, even if the trade didn't go down, I will always remember the day that Antonio Brown almost got traded to the Bills, because Twitter just turned into just a riot of tweets making fun of the city of Buffalo, making fun of Antonio Brown, making fun of Rappaport. It was just making fun of anybody they could think of and then throwing it out there in a tweet. So it was a pretty, pretty entertaining 90 minutes, I would say. Or I guess probably 4 hours, from about 11 p.m. till 3 a.m. till people were in bed.
I want to give Ian Rappaport credit where credit's due. He completely whiffed on this. If Ryan's making a face, like, what are you talking about? That dude has been tweeting through it ever since. And like every single reply is, we'd like to wait for Schefter on this one. Or like, you know, like, it's like, are you sure about that?
Focused.
Yeah. I mean, like, I would, if I missed on that scoop, and like, I mean, like, you know, your hit rate's not going to be perfect. It is frustrating that there's not more accountability in this department across the entire industry, not just Rappaport, but like, you know what I mean? Like, you would like to see that report not come out. Like, you would like to, you know what I mean? I mean, don't you agree? Is that, nah, if you don't care?
I guarantee you he'll, maybe he won't. I don't know. It is weird that you work for the actual company that is owned by all 32 NFL teams and this one you missed on. I don't, but I mean, look, it's Thursday night. He got his. I'm sure he didn't feel great about it. Maybe he'll do better next time. I don't know. That's where I'm at.
I just think it's frustrating. Like, I don't know.
Well, imagine being Antonio Brown. Or Josh Allen getting crapped on again, minding his own business. I mean, first it was Jalen Ramsey, and now it's Antonio Brown. The guy's eating a quesadilla like Pete Prisco on a Thursday night, and his phone's blowing up because some wide receiver hates him so much he doesn't want to go to Buffalo.
And he hates the city of Buffalo. Let me just say, for all you Buffalo listeners out there, I love Buffalo. I've only been there once, and I got snowed in at my hotel with Joey McIntyre of New Kids on the Block. One of the most fantastic experiences of my life. So if that had been me, I would have gone to Buffalo in a second. But I'm not in Antonio's ear.
That's the most breached story of all time.
Second most after going to see Britney Spears on your birthday by yourself in Las Vegas.
That's creepy. Okay. So yeah, that whole Bills thing happened. And then, you know, Friday, we were talking before the podcast, Breach was up to like 3 a.m. Eastern time waiting to see if Antonio.
Hey, can I ask something real quick?
Sure.
Are the Bills better off with Antonio Brown? Because I have a theory.
I think the Bills dodged a bullet there.
100%.
I think if you had traded number 9 for Antonio Brown and number 20, I mean, I understand the idea that you got to get the talent. The concerning thing, if I'm a Bills fan, is that they were considering doing that trade when the next best offer the Steelers could get was a third round pick from the Raiders. Like, Brandon Bean appears to be playing a low rent level checkers game, because he traded a third round pick for Kelvin Benjamin before and almost gave up the number 9 overall pick. And granted, he's getting 20 back in theory, but I mean, anything more than a third round pick at this point, you look like an idiot if you're offering.
But
that
hold on. The flip side of that is Bean didn't know what was going on in negotiation. So in his head, he's like, I don't have to give up my first round pick. I literally just drop 11 spots and I get Antonio Brown. Like, from that perspective, on Thursday night, he's like, hey, I'm getting a steal. Why wouldn't I do this? But now in hindsight, when we see these negotiations are, he definitely, if we make a whole list of 40 winners and losers in this whole charade that went down this entire week, Brandon Bean's definitely on the losers list. Maybe the winners list because he didn't.
He's on the
deal. I don't know. It goes both ways.
Antonio Brown's a turd, and he's a fan. Look, he's the best, one of the 5 best players in the NFL.
But if he doesn't
want to show up and if he wants to divide the locker room, then that's, and if it's one thing if you're the Steelers where you have players where you can win. And Antonio Brown, I don't want to make it sound like he's hurting that team, but I feel like in the wrong locker room, he could blow the whole thing up.
Imagine week 3, Josh Allen skips like the 5th pass in Antonio Brown's feet, and he's just standing there, and he just walks off the field, like storms away, too pissed off to deal with it. I mean, yeah, he would be a disaster in Buffalo. I like the idea of the Steelers sending him to Buffalo, though.
I love that. Yeah, I was laughing.
So, yeah, it was hilarious. He's like sending him to Siberia, like, enjoy this. This is what you get for being a punk, yada, yada, yada. And now, instead, he's going to Oakland where this is a huge win. You talk about winners, losers. Derek Carr is a big winner here. Let me ask you this.
In the short term.
Short term.
But for the same reasons you point out. Look, Ben Roethlisberger targeted Antonio Brown 45 times a game. And when he wasn't targeted, even when the Steelers were winning, he threw a fit. Go watch a Kansas City game last year in week 2 or 3, whenever they got blown out early and had to come back and threw the ball a lot. Or go watch the Ravens game in 2017 where he was throwing Gatorade bottles on the sideline when they were winning that game. So by the way, I've seen Antonio Brown have to play with Landry Jones. He wasn't happy about that. So Derek Carr is clearly better than Landry Jones. But what if Derek Carr hits a slump? And again, he's airmailing balls or skipping balls and not getting the ball to Antonio Brown like he wants to get it to. I don't know if you guys must remember this. When Keyshawn was all up in Gruden's face about giving the damn ball, and Gruden just sort of walked away from him back when they were in Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that 4 or 5 times next year with Gruden walking away because he wasn't happy Antonio was with the number of looks he was getting. So I don't think he cares about winning and losing, but if he gets 10 catches a game, maybe he'll be fine. But that's something you have to factor into the offensive game plan every week.
Well, and the other part of this Derek Carr thing, you know, last night or Saturday night when he's going through, all of a sudden he has this huge bromance with Antonio Brown. And the irony here is that Derek Carr might not be their quarterback. What if they go and trade for Kyler Murray in the draft, and all of a sudden Derek Carr doesn't even get to play with Antonio Brown? And then imagine being a rookie walking in that situation. You're going to feel like you have to throw every single pass to Antonio Brown, or he's going to be all up in your face. So I think that drafting Kyler Murray, even bigger risk now, if that's the route the Raiders go, since Antonio Brown's on the roster.
Worth noting that on the Raiders last year, there were seven guys who had more than 25 targets, and only one guy who had more than 100 targets. It was Jared Cook, and he led the team with 101 targets. Antonio Brown, over the last 6 years, how many targets do you think he has averaged?
Well, he had more than 100 catches in each of those years, so and more than 1,200 yards and 67 touchdowns, because I just did that on Sunday, did the math. But the targets are clearly north of 100 each year.
171 targets.
Oh my God.
So guess how this is going to turn out.
I think that's a really good point, Ryan. I don't know if there's enough volume to sustain. Because here's the deal. Look, Antonio Brown got paid, so that's great. Like, you made him the highest paid wide receiver in football. He can't complain that he's not getting the cash he deserves for the production that he's put out there. He did look like he'd slowed down a little bit, and it is possible that Antonio Brown's stats are not what they have been in Oakland. I would be very surprised if we see.
Well, let's do over under real quick. And okay. John, write this down or remember it so we can talk about it in December. What are going to be his final receptions?
Well, let's do over under. I mean, do you want to do over under his average for the
is this his receptions before Derek Carr quits the team?
His receptions when they trade for Jay Gruden to play quarterback.
How about this? Here's what we're going to do instead. We're going to use Stephen O's numbers from Sportsline.com, his fantasy projection. These will be the CBS Sports.com projections too, actually, powered by Sportsline. You should go check out Sportsline.com. You can get RJ's picks during the NFL season. Tons of great info and news and college basketball picks. Great spot to fill out your bracket, Sportsline.com. Use promo code touchdown or something like that. I'm just kidding. I don't know what the
pick
promo
six pod.
I don't think we have a promo code. You can try promo code Will. Or use promo code WHITE. Get RJ those subscriptions. But go to sportsline.com. Free, you get your first month for $1 if you use that promo code, and you can get your bracket analyzed there. Here, all right, let's do over under receptions. 101.
Under.
Under.
74 is what came to mind.
88 is what came to mind for me. And if he gets 74, he's quitting the team. He'll leave his money on the table.
Are you writing these down, Breach?
He'll wrestle John Gruden on the field if he gets 74 receptions. Over, I mean, that's going to turn into a fight.
Over, like Sylvester Stallone and over the top?
Over under 1,294 receiving yards. Under.
Wait, what's Brinson? Brinson, what's your prediction for
receptions? Come back to me.
We did. Wilson went and I went, so now it's your turn. there's no coming back.
Okay.
You're up.
I will say
Jesus, not that hard. 88 and 74.
I'm gonna say under. I don't think he's gonna hit it. I'm looking at, so by the way, 2008 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Just looking at the, Antonio Bryant led the team with 83 catches and 1,248 yards. This is Gruden's last, these are his last teams. Joey Galloway led the team in 2007 with 98 targets. This is a disaster. He doesn't have the target.
He likes to run the ball too, so.
Joey Galloway, I will say over 101 catches.
Well, you just said under.
I said
you
want under. I'll say 95.
Oh, God. Okay.
Under. Over under 1,294 receiving yards, Ryan.
Wait, what was your exact prediction?
95.
Okay. That's under, but we won't hold you to it.
Yeah, he doesn't know what over and under means. 1,200 yards, you said?
1,294. That's too high.
I'm going to say 948. 74, 948.
Oh, my God. There's going to be riots in Oakland if he does not hit 1,000.
Over, under, I'll say under on that, too. I think it'll be 11. I'll say 11. How about that?
So just 100 yards under his average with, or slightly under 100 yards under his average with the Steelers over the last 6 years. That's it?
I mean, The Raiders stink on defense. They're going to have to throw the football. Antonio Brown's so good.
I'm going to go 12-0-1, and it's going to be because like 400 of them are going to come in the two games against the Chiefs because of the Chiefs' defense so bad.
So you think he's – how many receptions did you say, John? 88?
Yeah. 88 for 12. What's the math there? Don't tell me what the math is. I don't want to know. I'm doing it.
It's 13 yards per catch, which is actually his average over the last 6 years.
Yeah. Oh, see, I didn't even plan that out.
Yeah, 74. What's 74 948? Does that sound similar to 13?
No, that's
12.8. So that's pretty close.
Yeah. All right. You got yardage too, Brenton. What's touchdowns?
Over under 9 touchdowns.
Brenton's average is 11.7. If his numbers pay.
Wow. I'm going to go 9 on the dot. I like 9.
He's averaged 11.2 touchdowns over the last 6 years. I will say 5.
Oh, come on. Who are those touchdowns going to? Derek Carr going to throw it to himself?
Maybe the Raiders should sign Le'Veon Bell. If that happens, that will be a disaster because he will he'll be pilfering all those red zone catches, red zone touchdowns from Antonio Bell, and then who knows what happens at that point.
Well, that was my next question, and we'll come back to Antonio Brown in a second. But
I guess and my prediction for touchdowns is 7.
Okay. So, and this is what I'm going to write about. I was going to write about this as the podcast post that I write on Monday because I mentioned this last week. I don't know if you guys remember me talking about it. I can't remember if it was this podcast or something else. I think it was this podcast. If the Raiders go out and sign Le'Veon Bell, which is not a crazy idea, and then they use two of their first round picks on, let's say they get Quinnen Williams, TJ Hockenson at 24, which might be a stretch. And then another wide receiver or maybe a pass rusher at 27.
Hey, do you want to hear a preview of my two-round mock for Monday?
Yeah.
Quinnen Williams at number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Byron Murphy, cornerback at 24. Ja'Kai Polite at 27, because if you're getting Antonio Brown and even Le'Veon Bell, who cares? Might as well go crazy. And then at 35, it is Noah Fant. So there you go.
That would be incredible. If they get Noah Fant, Ja'Kai Polite is, okay, whatever.
He's going to be, look, watch him play. You're like, oh, this guy's really good. He's a terrible interview.
Yeah, he's had a bad interview. If they go Noah Fant, Quinnen Williams, Ja'Kai Polite, and Byron Murphy, sign Le'Veon Bell, and then added Antonio Brown, which they've already done via trade. I mean,
That's an 8-win team. Maybe. Maybe not. 7-win team.
It's a tough division because you have the Chiefs and you have the Chargers and the Broncos.
And you have Joe Flacco.
But I mean, like, there's going to be somebody out there that's talking themselves into the Raiders being good, right? If that happens.
Well, the over-under is going to be on wins. It's going to be 6.8. What are you taking?
I think it'll be 7.5 if they go outside. Why would
6.8? It'd be 6.5.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
It'll be 7.5. I think the over-under will be 7.5 if they sign Le'Veon Bell and then add Noah Fant and some defenders in.
Oh, God, I don't know what I would do there.
I would take the under.
Yeah, I guess.
But, like, this makes total sense to me because if you think about what John Gruden's mindset, I think he went into this thinking, all right, I can win enough games. You know, we'll be dangerous. My coaching is good. We're going to coach him up. And, we'll draft all these young guys. They'll be hitting the right when we get to Vegas, they'll be like hitting their primes. We'll be developing them. We'll be rolling. And then he had that disaster season last year. He was like, F it. I am going in. We are signing Bell. We are trading for Brown. We are drafting some studs. This offense is going to be good. My reputation took a massive hit last year, and last year sucked. We're going to be dominant. What do you think about that?
Let me ask you this. If they get Le'Veon Bell, John, what are they going to pay him? I mean, are they going to be the idiots to break the bank and pay him $15 or $16
million? I mean, there's no way. There's just no way you can wrap up that kind of money into your receiver, your running back, when you theoretically also have Marshawn Lynch and Doug Martin. I mean, those guys are old, but if they're still on the roster, if they're still playing, and I think Le'Veon's getting 12 million tops. I could see the Raiders paying that. And if they say, hey, we'll give you 30 million guaranteed, but you're only getting 12 mil a year for 3 years. So 30 of 36 is guaranteed or something like that. I could see him taking less. I do not think the Raiders are paying Le'Veon Bell 17 million. I don't think anyone's paying Le'Veon Bell 17 million.
I just think that Le'Veon Bell is going to want to be reunited with Antonio Brown in this Oakland situation. He's going to say, man, these Raiders are willing to spend now to try and win. And then, this is going to end up becoming a thing. And we're going to be talking about like Pittsburgh West or something like that. And I don't know. I just, it feels like a, not a, it's not a lock. I mean, he could still get more money from the Jets, but it really feels like the Raiders might try and push in and be like, all right, look, if Pittsburgh doesn't want these A-list stars, we will take them. How about that?
Wilson, who would you say is the bigger diva, Brown or Brinson?
Oh, Brinson. It's not even close.
Oh, please. You should see what? You should see what I say about you on Snapface.
That doesn't load on my phone.
All right. So from the Steelers perspective, we're going to take a quick break. Then we'll do the Steelers perspective. Hold on 1 second. We'll be right back.
The all new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so from the Steelers' perspective, how do you reconcile what has happened, Ryan? I mean, I get that you're like sort of just at this point tired of dealing with those guys, and I understand that, but you just let two homegrown superstar talents walk out the door in the final years of Ben Roethlisberger's career. It feels like,
we don't know that he could play forever.
Please, he might.
By the way, Pro Football Talk has been sort of hinting on this. I don't know how much validity there is. But Mike Florio has a theory that it was either AB goes or I'm going, and I being Ben Roethlisberger, because he was thinking about retiring last year. And now he's, you know, maybe this pushed him over the edge. And that maybe perhaps is why the Steelers only got a third and a fifth, because they wanted to move on from him. I don't know if I buy it wholly, because they had a chance to get that ninth overall pick from the Bills. It just the money didn't work out, and clearly Brown didn't want to go to Buffalo. But here's the thing. Look. They tried to pay Le'Veon Bell, and they tried to pay him more than what John thinks he's going to get, and I tend to agree with John when he finally signs a deal in a few weeks or whenever. James Conner stepped up as a third-round pick, and he's fine. Your boy Jalen Samuel was more than adequate as the backup there, so that's not a real – that's a wash. Now, replacing Antonio Brown is going to be a different story. Juju Smith-Schuster isn't the same player without Antonio on the field. You hope James Washington steps up. He didn't have a very good rookie season. So what's plan B? And that will involve – a lot of Steelers people want the Steelers to sign John Brown, the burner out of the Cardinals who played with the Ravens last year and wasn't very good. It doesn't seem like something you want to waste money on. JLC likes Jameson Crowder. I like that more as an option. But also, I had him another sneak peek in the second round. You want to take guesses on who I had him drafting? Wide receiver?
Calvin.
Someone
Harmon.
With the last name Brown.
No, not Marquise.
AJ.
Which would be awesome.
Calvin Harmon.
He went earlier. He actually went the first round, I think. Okay. And, Deebo Samuel.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
He's a mini. He is not Antonio Brown, but he does a lot of the things Antonio Brown does. He's a four-down player. He can turn punts, yada, yada, yada. And he doesn't have to be the guy. You can put him out there and let him sort of work alongside Juju and James Washington. But, again, you're not replacing Antonio Brown with one, two, three, five players.
No, I mean, that's the problem. And – I mean, like, I think it's entirely possible that Juju Smith-Schuster outproduces Antonio Brown from a statistical standpoint in 2019, and that James Conner outproduces Le'Veon Bell from a statistical standpoint in 2019.
That is exactly what Jamie Eisenberg said on Sunday morning.
Stole that from me.
Yeah, right.
He did.
But the fantasy guru stole that from Will Brinson. But the point, I think you're right.
Well, let me ask Wilson this question, since he is definitely the Steelers expert here. And it is, like, the Steelers offense is basically designed to get as many touches to, you know, Le'Veon Bell always putting up huge numbers. Antonio Brown always putting up huge numbers. And it seems more a product of Roethlisberger and the offense than them being, you know, obviously they're great players, but it's because they're in a great system for them. And so my question, Wilson, is what skill players have ever left Pittsburgh and gone on to thrive somewhere else?
Yeah.
I mean, is there anyone?
That's the other thing. So, Mike Wallace, no. Plexico Burress, he was okay in New York. He had that Super Bowl winning catch. That's a huge thing, but he didn't have a great career once he left. Manny Sanders is the exception, but he played with Peyton Manning. And, you know, he's going to be a free agent too, probably. He's recovering from the injury. But by and large, people leave and they're doo-doo. So, and Antonio Brown's 31, or he's going to be in a few months. And he's playing in a – I can't stress this enough. When he had to catch passes from Landry Jones, he lasted about one or two pass plays, and he was throwing a fit. So I don't understand how magically John Gruden and Derek Carr fixed that problem. If he were going to New England, that's one thing. If he were going to Green Bay, that's something else. If he were going to Buffalo, he wouldn't have gone. We saw how that worked out. But, yeah, so I'm fine with the Steelers moving on from him. He's a huge loss. There's no – I'm not going to rewrite history. He was awesome. But I think you can – someone was talking about this on NFL Network. I can't remember who it was. But maybe this offense now becomes more like what Tom Brady does, where you just sort of dink and dunk your way down the field. It helps the defense, keeping them off the field as well. They can draft some defensive players, hopefully get better there. But even if you get a wide receiver in the second or third round that can help you, it won't replace Antonio's production. But maybe – and, Will, you hit into this. That is good news for Juju Smith-Schuster. Don't forget Vance McDonald also. He's going to be a big part of what they do. He's healthy. He's really good, and also someone that Ben could target more now that Antonio isn't whinging on the sidelines.
Worth noting, too, look, the Pittsburgh Steelers have been on the right side of history almost every time when it comes to dealing with these wide receivers and shipping them out. I don't think that Pittsburgh is right in that. Like, I don't think they can win this trade because no matter what happens, like if Antonio Brown goes crazy and, like, you know, quits the NFL entirely – the Steelers are still going to have a $21 million cap hit for Antonio Brown.
On top of Le'Veon's $14 million cap hit.
I mean, that's a lot of money they're spending on two superstar guys who aren't going to be there. A lot of money, space they're using. I don't think they necessarily care about the cash. But I'll say this. You go back through and look at the history of the Steelers and wide receivers. I mean, Mike Wallace was supposed to get a big deal. And he turned it down. He wanted more money. He wanted to hit free agents. Steelers let him walk.
$60 million is what they offered him. He said nope.
And the Steelers gave that cash to Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown became the best receiver in football. Mike Wallace left and was terrible. I mean, he had a nice little,
made a lot of money in Miami, but he didn't do anything.
He was awful. He was one of the worst signings.
Do you remember where he got traded after that?
To Baltimore.
No, Minnesota. No one even remembers that. That's how terrible he was.
He did? How do I not remember that?
Exactly.
And that's the thing with Antonio Brown. So last year, the Steelers threw 689 passes, led the NFL in pass attempts, right? How many passes, without looking up, do you think the Raiders threw? The Steelers led the NFL with 689.
I'm going to say that Derek Carr attempted 45 passes last year.
I will say, the top target was Jared Cook at 101, and there were six guys.
Couldn't have been much more than that. He was the leading receiver in that team, too.
Yeah, he was. I'll say that Derek Carr attempted 395 passes.
Oh, I was going to say 400.
Just as the team, as the entire team. So the Raiders threw 556 passes.
Okay.
So that is 130 less passes, 130 less chances at targeting Antonio Brown. But they threw it a lot. Is he going to be happy playing an offense that threw it 130 less times than the Steelers? He wasn't happy in the Steelers' offense.
No, the answer is no. A.J. McCarron, three of those passing attempts, by the way.
We should have an over-under on when this completely blows up. Like week 9?
No, under.
Do you think Antonio Brown cares about winning? I mean, that's a serious question. I don't think he does either. So like, if they're losing games, if they're 1-7 and he's averaging 90 yards a game, is he going to be pissed off?
That's not enough.
Is he getting 12 targets a game or 19?
Yeah.
12.
No, not happy.
I mean, he's going to, like, he will melt down. If they are losing games, I don't know. Yeah. All right. So, I don't know. Oh, yeah. But Mike Wallace, the history of the Steelers. I don't know how I got derailed there. They did it with, they let Emmanuel Sanders walk. They traded Santonio Holmes. He was a disaster for the Jets. Emmanuel Sanders actually got really good once he left and went to Denver. So that's maybe on the wrong side, but they didn't want
to play with Peyton though. That helps.
That's absolutely right. He was actually good. He was really good. He had a really good last year too. But he tore his Achilles. But I mean, like they added Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, they have drafted all of these wide receivers, and like late in the draft, and they've just worked out really well for him. Like if you look at the list of guys that the Steelers have drafted at the wide receiver position in the last few years,
Martavis was a fourth round pick.
That's right.
Sammy Coates was a third round pick who they drafted because they knew that Martavis was going to be in trouble with the drug suspension, and he had a good year and a half, and they traded him. But he served the purpose as a third rounder, comes in, makes plays, and the constant there is Roethlisberger. So if you have a quarterback, the lesson is you can sort of – look, to Kevin Colbert's credit, he can find wide receivers. He can't find a cornerback if he was sticking Sanders in the face.
Here's the list of receivers he's taken recently. James Washington in the second round, 2018. And by the way, he added Jalen Samuels in the fifth round. Just as he's listed as a tight end in the draft thing, but it's worth noting. Juju Smith-Schuster in the second round of 2017. DeMarcus Ayers in 2016 in the seventh round. Didn't pan out. Sammy Coates in the third round of 2015. Dree Archer and Martavis Bryant in the third and fourth round of 2014. Marcus Wheaton in the third round of 2013. Who else did he take? Tony Clemens. Emmanuel Sanders in the third round. Antonio Brown.
Three picks later, yes.
Yeah. I mean, he got Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown.
The year before that was Mike Wallace.
Yep, that's 100%. Mike Wallace is the third round. And this is a guy who can identify receivers and have them pan out and become really good players for him. And so I think that you just have to trust that Kevin Colbert is going to be able to not replace Antonio Brown, but be able to get the necessary talent around Ben Roethlisberger so that way the Steelers can maintain their offensive production. And look, at the end of the day, it does matter that Ben Roethlisberger is there and that he is better than Derek Carr. I mean, they're going to score more points than the Oakland Raiders next year, right?
Good Lord.
Easy. Double.
Double.
Yikes.
Do you think they need to use an early pick on a receiver?
No, you don't have to take one in the second round, but since I was only doing a two-round mock draft, they could take a linebacker and a cornerback and an edge. They could do any number of things because there are guys in the third round and fourth round that could help them. And as you just pointed out, they can find those guys after day two and be all right there. But, I mean, if Deebo Samuel's there, whatever the 20th pick is in the second round, I'd think long and hard about it. I'd also think long and hard about Kelvin Harmon at 20. I love Kelvin Harmon. He ran a 4.6. I don't care. If you watch him play, he doesn't run a 4.6. And imagine him opposite Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, that's a no-brainer in my mind.
So the pick they gave up is for Brown is actually number 66 overall. That's pretty high. I was surprised.
Yeah, but, I mean, it ain't number 9.
No. It's not number 9. I wonder if the Steelers were like, look, we can't take less than what you gave us for Martavis Bryant. Like,
awesome. Listen,
I understand that you've got us over a barrel here, John. We're giving you Antonio Brown. We're taking a big L. Just give me the third round pick. You got a ton of picks. You're getting Antonio Brown.
The other part, you can imagine negotiations if Kevin Colbert's sitting there saying, hey, we have to get a first round pick. And the Raiders just like, okay, bye, hang up. So Colbert gets desperate, calls the Bills, who are the only team even remotely willing to offer a first-round pick. Then that falls through. Then Colbert's just like, crap, nobody's offering a first-round pick. We're high and high. What do we do? They get desperate and take the Raiders third and fifth. I mean, this whole was a S show.
Yeah, and the Raiders had four picks in the first 35, and the Steelers can get one of those.
It's unbelievable. I mean, like it's a huge win for the Raiders. Do you think that – and by the way, the Raiders also traded Kelechi Osemele to the New York Football Jets on Sunday afternoon. This is gonna be a lot of trades coming out in the next 48 hours or so. So get put on your big.
I do love pants. the last 2 years. It's kind of turned into Madden style free agency.
Yeah, I mean credit to NFL Network's or media's Greg Rosenthal for coming up with the term trade tsunami. And it's cool because it's true. Like this wave of trades, it came in like crazy, and it's a result of the salary cap continuing to bump up, and teams don't want to cut guys who they would have had to cut for salary cap purposes in the past, so they'd rather ride it out or just get an asset for him. And teams could take on bigger cap numbers than they could in years past. I mean, like do all the, like, first of all, 5 or 10 years ago, there is a 0% chance the Steelers would have cut Antonio or traded Antonio Brown because of the cap hit. They, like, it would have been too much to deal with to lose that kind of player. And then I think, you know, too, like, you wouldn't have seen a guy like Kelechi Osemele get traded. He just would have been a cap casualty.
Hey, quickly, JLC also reported that in addition to the Raiders, that the Eagles and Redskins were also in the mix for the same compensation, but they didn't want to pay the new deal because they're not insane. Mm. Where's the best place that he could have ended up with those three teams where he would, Antonio Brown would be the least likely to be a huge pain in the arse?
Eagles would have been the best.
Right? Eagles, definitely.
Yeah, because, I mean, also, he and Alshon Jeffrey would complement each other really well. You know, Carson Wentz is, you know, sort of Big Ben-esque in terms of his ability to move around and extend plays and all that. You know, if Wentz gets hurt, it would have been a problem. But, you know.
Who is number two over there now?
Could you imagine Antonio Brown in Washington, like, trying to catch passes from Colt McCoy or Case Keenum? That would be a disaster.
It would be hilarious.
Disaster.
I would have rather seen that than Buffalo, to be honest with you, because at least, I mean, I live near Buffalo, and I can appreciate what they're going through.
And look, good on those teams for not paying that salary. Because, like, I think –
it's insane that he is the highest paid wide receiver as a 31
year old. He'll be 31 when the season starts.
And since his pay is so high, I think we need to get this clarified. Is his nickname Mr. Big Chest, like he's a big chest, or is it Mr. Big Checks, like he gets high paid with checks?
No, it's Mr. Big Chest, but the checks go in the little chest, like the toy chest.
No, but apparently he's got a big chest full of checks is what he has.
There you go.
But apparently he was on social media. It was like using – it sounded like he was saying checks, right?
Can he ask spell checks?
His last video from Friday, it sounded like he said Mr. Big Checks. And I'm sitting there like, have we been getting it wrong all this time? We just all thought it was Mr. Big Chest when it's Mr. Big Checks.
Maybe he loves cereal. Checks.
I might have to tweet at him on this one. We got to get some clarification here. We can't just keep going using the wrong nicknames.
Just letting AB just grind out Mr. Big – because Mr. Big Chest makes no sense. But Mr. Big Checks makes a ton of sense considering
– Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some investigative journalism. I'll get back to you guys for a Tuesday podcast.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to add, about the Raiders, Antonio Brown, the Steelers? Did we miss anything?
We all agree under 8 wins.
Yeah. I mean, look, Antonio Brown is a big winner right now because he's getting paid. How much guaranteed money did he end up flipping?
All right.
So he has $30 million in guaranteed money coming from the Raiders.
And his zero coming into the season if he'd stayed in Pittsburgh.
That is a good deal for him.
No kidding. Drew Rosenhaus couldn't get on new NFL Network fast enough on Sunday. He was talking for 15 minutes about how everything went perfectly.
So
he did say, by the way, and you guys may agree, that everyone won this trade. So that includes the Steelers.
He said that? He said everybody won this trade?
He didn't even laugh when he said it either.
I mean, he's trying to be polite and help out. So the Raiders will guarantee Brown $30 million, and the total amount he was due to earn through 2021 increases. This is from Ryan. I'm reading Ryan's writing. From $38.9 million to $50.1 million, according to Pro Football Talk. That works out to $19.8 million annually. So he's under contract with the Oakland Raiders through 2021.
And then
2020 and 2021, he's in Las Vegas. So that's going to be like getting a $3 million raise because he has to pay California's insane taxes.
It's
so
going to be more than that because if he reaches his incentives, it's an extra $4 million. He'll be making $20.8 million on average.
Well, if he hits his incentives, that's fine. Because, like, I don't think – like, if he hits the incentives, I think you're – unless the incentives are really low. I mean, I assume that they're – like he's
74, 948, 9 – the incentives?
That better not be. Better be higher than that.
Oh, they gave him $30 million. They might be.
Did PFT report the incentives?
No, it was a $4 million trigger, I think is what Florio wrote, but there were no specifics.
He also triggered a $4 million incentives. He did not include. Man, I mean, look, if he hits the incentives, you're probably feeling pretty good because presumably those incentives are high enough that nobody would be, you know, flipping out. This is going to go so poorly for the Raiders. I mean, like he's going to catch, even if he catches 100 balls and gets 1,000 yards and they go 6-10, you just paid him $20 million.
Well, is it more likely, is this team better than the team that won 12 games 2 years ago?
Why wouldn't you just pay Khalil Mack instead of Antonio Brown?
I don't know. They sort of ran out of money because they had paid everyone else away to the last minute And I don't think they had enough money towards the end.
They got two first round picks for Khalil Mack. Like, I don't think it's obviously you don't want to trade a guy like that in his prime, but it's not like they got fleeced like the Steelers just did.
Well, you can also say too that they traded.
The Steelers got fleeced, but they're going to end up winning.
Like, do you think that John Gruden ultimately with the way that the Amari Cooper thing played out, you know, he got a first round pick for Amari Cooper, 27th. I mean, it's not a great first round pick, but he got a first round pick. And additionally, you know, he ends up getting Antonio Brown and giving up a third and a fifth. I get that I don't like the idea that you're getting the older receiver and you're paying him all that money. But I mean, to get a first and Antonio Brown while shipping out Amari Cooper and a third and a fifth, that's pretty good by John Gruden.
John Gruden is Inspector Gadget. He would be, you ever watch that show, 30 minutes, Gadget has no idea what he's doing, but he always solves the case. Everybody calls him a hero, and you watch for 22 minutes, you're like, how did he do anything? And that's where we are with Gruden. I'm just like, why did he trade away Mack? Why did he trade away Cooper? And now he's sitting on all these first-round picks with Antonio Brown, with $70 million in salary cap space. It's insane. And now he looks brilliant.
That's a pretty good comp, John.
Yeah, he looks brilliant now, but what's it going to look like in December? Is this team better than the 2017 team that won 12 games? No, 2016 team.
No, because that team had.
So they draft on defense because the defense is still bad.
Because no one saw them winning 12 games that year either.
Well, I wouldn't.
Except for
our former boss.
Our old boss, Matt DeBeek. Nailed correctly predicted 12. In May, exactly 12 wins and saved himself from having to purchase a large amount of chapstick. I don't know. Look, if you look at, no, the team is not better. Their defense stinks. I got questions about the offensive line too. So you deal Osimile. Let's not forget that this offensive line, which is the strength of the team when Jack Del Rio was coaching after Reggie McKenzie put it all together, fell apart when they turned it over to Tom Cable. Surprise, surprise.
By the way, you want to hear a funny story about Reggie McKenzie?
As always.
Of course. Oh, I know the story.
John was there. So Monday after you left, Brenton, John and Dane.
Set the combine.
Yeah. We were in the hallway between where the players bench press and where the everyone that's on an NFL team, employed by an NFL team, walks to Lucas Oil Stadium to watch the defensive backs. So we're there at 9 in the morning, and we see Reggie McKenzie walk by. We're in his Raiders gear, which is sort of funny because he doesn't work for the Raiders anymore.
Wait, what?
Well, that's not the craziest part. 10 minutes later, I was like, John, look, Reggie McKenzie's back. He was wearing Dolphins gear.
Wait, what? Oh, my God. He went.
He has a twin brother.
Oh, it is his brother. He does have a twin brother.
I was like, I'd forgotten that. And John's like, he's a twin brother, dummy. And I was like, oh, my God, that's the best trick I've ever seen. He's just taking laps around the convention center, changing his clothes every 5 minutes.
Wait.
Well, the thing is, I didn't know. I knew he had a twin brother. I didn't know the twin brother was involved in football. So I was literally about to tweet out, I just saw Reggie McKenzie wearing a Raiders shirt. Does this guy know he got fired? And then all of a sudden, thank God, the second McKenzie walked by about 10 minutes later. And we were like, okay, that explains everything.
Do you know what Reggie McKenzie's brother's name is?
Ronald.
No. Rupert. Close. Very close.
Reginald.
Nope.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Raleigh. Raleigh McKenzie.
Like R-O-L-L-I-E or Raleigh, North Carolina?
Like Raleigh, North Carolina. Why? Isn't it insane that you would fire somebody as a GM and then keep his twin brother is the scout, like your scout? That's a little weird, right?
I mean, like, how could the brother who Reggie not be a bitter, and how could, you know, Rally, it's family, share some tips? You gotta fire the whole family.
Maybe Reggie stay behind and we don't know that's Reggie.
That's a switcheroo. That's what I was. I think we said that for like 1 second. You pulled a Freaky Friday switcheroo. All of a sudden, Reggie's showing up to the Raiders and just totally getting some serious revenge, and the Raiders have no idea.
Reggie was deal to give Antonio Brown $30 million.
Reggie comes up and he's like, hey man, you know who I hate, John? My brother, Reggie. You want to talk? Let's talk about Reggie. He's like, and you know who's a great player? Like, I'm scouting these guys. You know who are great players? We should definitely draft these guys. Maybe it was Raleigh McKenzie who recommended, the Antonio Brown deal and the Antonio Brown contract. Maybe that's how that played out. All right. Anything else to add? Did I miss any news? Did we forget anything? I don't think so.
No,
Justin Houston
cut by the Chiefs. No surprise.
I think that was expected.
They were trying to trade him. Did they actually announce it, or is it just reported?
I think it was announced. I just saw it because I'm going to have to write it. I have to double check.
Yeah, I see reports, but
okay.
No actual Let's see. Ronald Darby said, I love it here.
Chiefs announced Justin Houston's release.
Okay. It's one of the best sports cities in the whole United States. So we can see Ronald Darby potentially sticking around. I don't think that there's a whole lot more to talk about, is there?
Are John and I coming back tomorrow? Is that the plan?
Yes. You will probably be back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
All right. Tomorrow. Well, listen, go and read my 2-round mock draft. It'll be on the site on Monday morning.
Everybody,
and send Brinson any questions you have. You want to yell at me? Don't tweet me. I don't want to hear them.
Everybody who listens to this podcast and is still listening, go read Ryan's mock draft and then tweet him a question about the 17th.
Oh, you know, we could talk about it real quick, but it might add 5 minutes.
Okay,
can we add 5 minutes or should we not add it?
We got it.
Was the straight up Friday news dump of all the rule proposals? And
oh yeah, you know, great call. Yeah, that was the most
the
most breach headline of all time. Eliminating kickoffs? Question mark. Three crazy things to know about the NFL rule proposal.
But you're the NFL, why are you releasing that Friday night at like 8 p.m.? That didn't make any sense at all.
Oh, yeah, actually, you know what? There was a ton of news on Friday that we could go over very quickly. Sorry, it's been a long weekend and I'd sort of forgotten about the news. Eric Weddle signed with the Rams. That's exciting. That's a good signing. I like that by the Rams. So it's probably, you know, basically replacing LaMarcus Joyner.
Wait, did I talk about this? I don't remember the last time I talked to you, but our buddy Andy Benoit tweeted out a few days ago that he talked to 24 coaches and every coach said that he was the glue, Eric Weddle, to that Ravens defense. I love the fact that he's, and by the way, it shouldn't take the best player in football, Antonio Brown, a month to get signed. It took Eric Weddle 45 minutes. That's how important he is. He's 33 years old.
Yeah. I think it's a great signing by the Rams. And if you think about it too, like, he's sort of a smart back end guy. I think fits very well. Like he can clean up the mistakes, like when Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters gamble on stuff. So I think that fits perfectly in Wade Phillips' system. Michael Bennett was traded to the Patriots. Go ahead, Breach. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say with Weddle, how much do you think he's going to love going back to Los Angeles and just flipping the bird at Spanos and the Chargers? Because that was a bitter breakup there. So for him to end up in the same city, I think is kind of hilarious. But the Michael Bennett thing, you know, that's crazy that the Patriots did that, because there's some history there. Like, he got in a fight with Gronkowski at the end of Super Bowl 49. You guys remember that? Tackled Gronk.
Oh, yeah.
The ball got knocked away. I think Sean, our guy, wrote about how him and Greg Schiano hate each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting chemistry. And obviously the Patriots can always make things work out, but this is one of the riskier moves they've made as far as locker room chemistry goes. You have a defense coordinator who now hates the guy you just acquired, and you have a tight end who's thinking about retiring who once got in a fight at the Super Bowl with the guy you just acquired.
Is this better or worse than
situation?
Here's what Michael,
worse than bringing in Albert Haynesworth.
Here's what Michael Bennett said about Greg Schiano back in 2013. I think he just wants to flex his power. He has small man syndrome. I still talk to guys who are there. Trust me, there's not much respect for him in that locker room. Awkward.
He just came back, Schiano, a couple years ago, right?
What do you mean?
He was in college for a while.
Yeah, this is what Bennett said in 2013 after he left.
Oh, okay, so he left and Schiano came back.
Yeah, remember Schiano was still the coach, I think, when Bennett left in free agency and signed with the Seahawks. And then Schiano was fired, of course, amid all the disaster season with them.
The MRSA too in the locker room.
The MRSA, yeah. And now there's a report too that Martellus Bennett wants to come back and play for the Patriots as well, because the Bennett brothers have never played together before. So that's a possibility. Martellus, of course, was on the title winning team, right?
And of course, spent the last 6 months tweeting about smoking blunts every day. So if he does come back, he can probably expect a drug test or two the second
random.
He signs his contract.
Yeah, another random.
Yes, random.
Yeah.
Now, I think if you tweet about it, they're allowed to put you in like stage. They're allowed to test right away or test you more or something.
We mentioned the possibility of Odell Beckham being traded to the Browns. Turns out that was not the case. There was a Browns-Giants trade in the works, though, and the Giants and Browns swapped Olivier Vernon for Kevin Zeitler. Who wins that deal, Ryan?
Giants. The offensive line is crap. Mm-hmm. You get a very, really good offensive guard. Helps Eli. I'm rolling my eyes because I've had it with Eli, but he's coming back, so you might as well try to protect him. Look, I don't know what kind of trouble Odell's caused in that locker room. He hasn't been arrested. We haven't heard of him doing the things like quitting on his team like Antonio did in Week 17. I think you stay with him until it's clear that it ain't going to work, because that team is already terrible, and if you lose your best player, you're not going to get better.
Well, it's funny you say that, Will, because to toot my own horn here, is the guy who picked the Cowboys to win the division last season, the Giants are kind of growing on me here. Like, you bring in the offensive line was easily the worst part. Like, I'm giving Eli 60% of the blame for being horrible, but you can't throw the ball if you're not getting protection. And so, like, if they build that offensive line, we've talked every week about the weapons, Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, Saquon Barkley. So they have everybody. They have a stacked offense. And if he has any protection, I could see them being like a 9 or 10 win team. And sometimes in the NFC East, that's enough games to win that division. So I kind of like what the Giants are doing, except at quarterback. So they just need to get one kind of good season from Eli, and maybe they could be a threat.
What if they draft Dwayne Haskins? How many games are they winning then? Because I like that team a lot more with Dwayne Haskins.
Is Eli the starter behind Dwayne, or is Dwayne the starter?
Eli gets to start 4 games, and they
I think 7 with Dwayne.
I sort of think that you can make a case. Do we talk about this on Friday? What were we talking about, the Giants? Because somebody was tweeting me like, you don't know about real Giants fans or something like that.
That was the podcast, because I didn't understand your line of reasoning either. I agree with that person.
But I think that this sets up, like, they're basically, and I was talking about somebody, but it was.
Yeah, we did it early because you had to add on because of the Antonio Brown news. Remember that?
No, because of the Breach, and I had to come back and record a separate part of a podcast. What was it? It was Case Keenum's trade. Then we didn't add on for Antonio Brown because it was too late. And it just felt.
And Wilson was ducking your text messages.
That's right. As he always
I was doing HQ. Thank you.
Sure you were.
At 8:30 at night.
But no, but the, like, you can kind of see the Giants putting together a little bit of an offense that could feature Saquon.
Are they better
Barkley
than the Eagles right now?
No.
Yeah.
They're better than the Redskins.
Good Lord, I would hope so. The Redskins don't have a quarterback or wide receiver.
And maybe the Cowboys lose DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, Giants could be the sneaky team, the dark horse. Huh?
What?
Even Brenton won't get in on that.
No, absolutely not. The Jaguars released Malik Jackson and Carlos Hyde. No surprise there, but, you know, Carlos Hyde, that was a disaster signing and a good trade by the Browns to get rid of him, get out the salary cap.
I love Carlos Hyde going to Kansas City, by the way.
Yeah,
he's not a bad player. I don't know why suddenly he's been traded 14 times.
He's a nice compliment for Damian Williams. Like, you can see him running the ball effectively in Andy Reid's system. I thought that was a good trade for sure. The Steelers traded Marcus Gilbert to the Cardinals for a 6th-round pick. That's a pretty nice pickup for the Cardinals to be able to get a veteran.
Huge pickup. If he's healthy, he's really good. He hasn't been healthy the last few years. You would like to think you get more than a 6th-round pick for him. What did they get for Osimile?
I did not see the term.
5th round, the Raiders.
I mean, come on.
The Raiders got a 5th-rounder, but also sent a 6th-round pick to the Jets.
Man, the Cardinals should have gotten in on that, too. And, of course, there was a headline from Friday after John Breach mentioned on our podcast, I was trying to get that Odell Beckham story written, and you wrote it. Browns reportedly tried to land Odell Beckham with huge multiplayer trade that didn't impress Giants. How was the traffic on that?
I mean, it did what you would think. It wasn't out the window. It was a Friday night. You know, Friday is the worst day for traffic. People outside the industry might not know that. So you never know what you're going to get. And the thing was, I can't pronounce her name at the NFL Network, so I don't even want to try it.
Aditi Kinkabala.
Yes. So she did an interview with 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, drawing some details, and I thought that was fascinating that they had Zeitler was in the deal, two other guys.
Yeah, there's another player, like a defensive player, right?
Yeah, yeah. That they offered for Odell, and, you know, basically the Giants laughed at him. And the thing is, like, they're taking phone calls. You know, maybe you're the Browns. You say, well, we'll throw obviously they can't now because they already traded him, Zeitler to the Giants, but hey, we'll throw in a 2nd-round pick because Odell is such a talent that if you have their ear, maybe you stop that offer and try and actually get him.
Would you trade Odell Beckham for a 3rd and a 5th-round pick?
No,
ask for a friend.
Not in a million years.
Oh, and then finally, we didn't even talk about, we started to talk about it, but we didn't finish it with the rules changes. What should we know about the rules changes that will be proposed for at the owners' meetings coming up in a few weeks, of which I will not be attending.
Number one, that's sad, Brian. Me and Wilson will be there doing this podcast.
Yeah.
No, we won't.
Everybody
was talking about the Chiefs. They want it so both teams get a possession in overtime, but there was a second part of that. They want to get rid of overtime coin toss, and the winner of the coin toss at the beginning of the game would also get to make the decision in overtime. So that coin toss at the beginning of the game takes on a little.
Why does that matter?
I don't know. Ask the Chiefs, Wilson. I'm not Andy Reid. And then the Broncos want to go full Alliance of American Football and get rid of the onside kick and have a 4th and 15 from the 35-yard line. If you convert it, you keep possession. If you don't, then obviously the other team takes possession. So that would scrap the onside kick.
That, John, is that John Elway doesn't have a quarterback, and he thinks 4th and 15 gives him a better chance of converting than an onside kick.
His defense, he's counting on them. And then a bunch of instant replay ones. The biggest one, probably the Redskins. They want every play to be challengeable, which, why not? You know?
Yeah.
Well, you only get two challenges if you want to waste one.
You want to laugh because it's Dan Snyder, but Bill Belichick's been saying that for 6 years.
Yeah.
Stealing Belichick's ideas and presenting them as themselves. And so that tells you, like, the Patriots seem like they would be on board. The Redskins, that's two. You only need 24 votes, so they just need 22 more. And then there's a couple just replay-related ones that are kind of mundane that we don't need to really go over.
All right. Good stuff, as always, fellas. Great podcast. Ran a little bit long. Sorry to those who wanted to be 45 minutes. The John Breach had to get his overtime rules out there. In the meantime, subscribe, rate, and review. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Later.